There's something big enough for both of us.
Legs McNeil, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Health equity should drive vaccine distribution. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The winter solstice, the darkest day of the year, has passed, but the darkest days of the coronavirus pandemic are likely still to come. COVID-19 has killed more than 320,000 people in the United States, with almost 18 million cases. Deaths and hospitalizations shatter world records on a daily basis. While two vaccines have been approved for use in the United States, initial shipments are falling short of the expected doses. African-American, Latinx, and Native American communities have been hit disproportionately hard by the pandemic, suffering a convergence of systemic racism, lack of access to adequate health care, and all too often proximity to pollution sources that heighten the risks posed by COVID-19.
What we should focus on is an equity distribution.
That's Dr. Tyson Bell. He's a critical care and infectious disease physician at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour, not long after receiving his first shot of the Pfizer vaccine.
Thinking about who are our highest risk providers initially who are providing frontline COVID care, and then hospital workers in those communities that are also at high risk for encountering people with COVID-19.
Dr. Bell, who's African-American, explained in a New Yorker magazine interview how, during the protests that exploded following the killing of George Floyd by Minneapolis police in May, he was torn between his duties as a doctor and as a citizen. He said, two competing factors, racism and COVID, are killing my community. It feels really unfair that I can't fight both at the same time. Dr. Bell on Democracy Now! Described a disturbing detail of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine distribution.
Meharry Medical College and their affiliate hospital, Nashville General, were skipped over for the initial Pfizer vaccine shipments. Now, Meharry Medical College is the nation's largest private, historically Black academic sciences center. They have been leading on the front for combating COVID-19, and their workers are extremely high risk. Now, not only that, their president and CEO, Dr. James Hildreth, is on the advisory committee to the FDA that initially reviewed and approved the vaccine.
Meharry, founded in 1876 during Reconstruction, is also running its own vaccine trials, recruiting people of color to participate to ensure that any vaccine approved is also safe for these heavily impacted communities. A recent poll by the Pew Research Center found only 42% of African Americans are inclined to get the vaccine, compared to over 60% for whites in the Latinx population. Harriet Washington, medical ethicist and author of Medical Apartheid, The Dark History of Medical Experimentation on Black Americans, said on Democracy Now!
Vaccine experiments that have been very unethical and exploitative, and other procedures, especially in the developing world, that have been exploitative, that have caught the attention of African Americans and others. So even the recent history of vaccine abuse has been very troubling and caused a lot of reticence.
Among the examples Harriet Washington documents is the notorious Tuskegee syphilis experiment. From 1932 to 1972, for 40 years, the U.S. Public Health Service promised 400 African-American men treatment for syphilis, then lied to them, administering placebos. The authorities then studied how the disease progressed when purposefully left untreated. Many men died. Harriet Washington also details the enthusiastic smallpox vaccination experiments conducted by President Thomas Jefferson on his slaves. In 1801, Washington writes, "Jefferson spent that summer vaccinating 200 of his family's and his neighbor's slaves. Only after they escaped illness did Jefferson inject his white family at Monticello," unquote. Dr. Tyson Bell moved to Charlottesville just before the Unite the Right White Supremacist rally in 2017, which was protesting the proposed removal of a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. One anti-fascist counter-protester, Heather Heyer, was killed by a white supremacist and scores were injured. This week, as Dr. Bell received his shot of coronavirus vaccine, the Commonwealth of Virginia replaced its statue of Robert E. Lee in the U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall with a statue of a black woman, Barbara Johns. As a 16-year-old in 1951, Barbara Johns and other African-American high school students organized a strike in rural Prince Edward County, Virginia, protesting their grossly unequal school facilities compared to those provided for white students. Their case was taken up by the NAACP, then combined with others in the landmark Brown v. Board of Education Supreme Court decision ending official school segregation in the U.S.
It's not lost on me that I work at an institution that was founded by a member of society who's highly esteemed, but thought that people like me were unworthy of being educated.
That's Dr. Bell speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour, referring to the University of Virginia's founder, U.S. President Thomas Jefferson.
We have to take down our symbols that are honoring legacies that do not agree with our true nature of American democracy. But we also have to take action and to make sure that our actions speak for our words. So that means focusing on equitable distribution, thinking about black and brown communities from the outset.
Health equity means free and fair distribution of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments. Anything less will be yet another monument to racism in America. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
90.7 FM.
Accra, Hudson, Catskill.
Hang all the mistletoe. I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together this Christmas. The fireside is blazing bright. Whoa, we're caroling through the night. Whoa, this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
You're listening to Clubhouse Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, broadcasting Hudson, Catskill, and Acre. You're just listening to the Christmas, This Christmas by Chris Brown. So today on the show, we're going to be talking about the court case with NCAA. And we'll be back after this little song break.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotched with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house or stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back of nobody hoodie. Accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback. Don't hog that remote, Bubba. You better give me the remote. Give me the remote, Bubba. Cause it's the clubhouse.
You were just listening to a clubhouse original theme song by DJ AJ. The views we express on the Clubhouse Radio may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse parent organizations, the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. So today we're going to be talking about that court case about the NCAA, about where college athletes should be getting paid, like whether or not they should be getting paid. So on the show, we have Phoebes on Skype.
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yep, you sure can.
Cool. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. So, I mean, we picked, it's exciting, right? Like a week ago, the Supreme Court decided that they're going to hear a case that up to now had just been considered in some of the lower courts about whether or not schools should be able to pay more than what they're currently allowed to pay college athletes to, in particular, on like really competitive teams like college football, college basketball, these teams that are bringing in billions of dollars of revenue for the schools and for the NCAA, but meanwhile, students continue to be capped at what's effectively a free ride, right? Because with pay with college, it's really you paid in educational benefits. But in this case, they're asking, like, hey, can we give more of that? Like, instead of just paying a full ride for college, could we also offer to pay for somebody's graduate degree in the future or other sorts of benefits that right now the NCAA says, no, we need to keep it at the same level for all those schools. Yeah. And the reason I thought it was interesting is you, Imani, brought up a few weeks ago on the show this question of paying high school athletes. So this is sort of directly related. And I'm curious, when you made your case about high school athletes, like why that felt important to you.
Well, I feel like it's very extremely important to me because I myself am a high school athlete. And like, I know the struggles. I know that I can't have a job because I play sports, because there's no time to do sports and school, get your homework done, clean up your house, like do all this stuff, and to play sports at the same time. Now we don't have the money to buy like basketball sneakers or say like baseball bats, like any of this. So yeah, that's mainly my reason for bringing this subject up.
Mm-hmm. One of the arguments that is really being looked at with this case is whether or not we should treat college athletes like they're students or like they're employees in this. And there's this question about whether or not student athletes right now are getting like a fair enough share of how much money they're bringing in. But you know, the NCAA is kind of making this case like we still want college athletes to think about themselves as students, like not just employees of a professional sports team, right? It's the difference between being professional athletes versus being a student who also plays sports. And I think a lot of people who see what it takes to be an NCAA Division I college football player, like, it already is professional, so why not like actually pay them appropriately?
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on like how this question of like professional versus like being a student in school like matters?
Got you. So my opinion is, well, basically we're students and we're employees because of the fact, like, we're students in the sense where it's like we're being taught, like we're studying, we're in school, but we're employees in the sense where we're playing for you, like we're getting you money, like this is, so we should be getting paid for getting you money, for getting you paid, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's a great case, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if the sports weren't set up to be a business, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation, but it has been. So now why are the athletes the ones who are doing the labor, who, like you said, are getting injured, who have to be committed like really intensely? And like, I'm sure a lot of college athletes would be like, it takes away from my ability to like do a lot of other things in my life, right? Like that I'm showing up for this commitment. Like, where's our fair share of that if it's going to exist and you're going to treat it like a business?
Exactly. Well, recently I've been like reading articles about that case, and they were saying that they feel like they shouldn't pay athletes because they know that some of the schools, like some of the rival schools, won't be able to pay their athletes. So that would become an issue, like with gloating athletes. Like, it's just too much, I feel like. And I could understand that. I can understand their reasoning for not paying them. I think that's a pretty good argument.
Are you thinking about going to play college sports?
Yeah. So mainly, if I go to college, because I'm not 100% sure on whether or not, like, what I want to do in college or everything. So if I do, I'm definitely going to play a sport. That would probably be one of the main reasons for me going to school. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, like, one of the cases that the NCAA has made is, like, yeah, we make all this money on some of these, like, really popular Division I sports, but that money ends up making it possible for us to support scholarships for, like, Division III athletes or for athletes who are in sports that just, like, don't rake in the money the same way as college football does. So there is actually, like, a deeper relationship to some of these, like, really big, well-known college sports teams, and then just like how a lot of other people experience college sports. Like, I played college soccer and softball, and like, yeah, it was a very different vibe, I think, playing for me Division III than it is for what is a much more professional standard when you get into some like Division I sports. So it's this whole sort of case, like, it's kind of ignoring some of the nuances of, like, what does this mean for some of the other sports and stuff. It's really focused on the big one. But I do think that's something to consider, too, is, like, what's the healthy ecosystem for athletes who are in other sports, too? And when you made your case, too, about paying a high school athlete, you know, I was like, huh, what about, like, people who do high school theater or drama and, like, similarly have times of the year when they can't make it to – they can't have a job or can't do something else? Like, yeah, like, how do we think about, in general, this thing? Yeah.
I was thinking about that because I know that during basketball season they have play, and some of my basketball teammates were in the play too, and I was taking up all their time, so much of their time where they had to quit basketball because the coaches were upset that they were taking so much time out of basketball practices to be on the play. Like, they weren't committing enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, like, also, like, the way sports commitment show up, it affects your ability to also not just work, but, like, do other extracurricular activities or things you might be passionate about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe the answer is a better balance of, like, how demanding sports are compared to, like, other expectations?
I feel like they should just think of other ways to pay students. Like I've heard that people, like, the administration have been paying like students in grades, like, and scholarships instead of actual money. Like they're just getting like extra credits, like, for passing classes. And like, even like, this is such a big argument where like schools are canceling sports. Like, Stanford eliminated 11 sports this season because of this issue. Like, It's just getting out of hand, I feel like, and they should just think of other ways. Like, they can I don't know, free lunch meals, free housing, like, I don't know, free, like, help, like, free classes. Like, they can take their classes freely. Like, they can do, like, free meal plans or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's really compelling. And because your point, right, is like you're asking these people to be committed to something that means they can't meet those needs other ways that they could. So make sure that they have food. And I think that is part of what is currently allowed with the NCAA. Like, there is some of that, but it's just like it's really limited. And basically, for the last many decades, the NCAA has just gotten richer and richer and richer on these sports, but the athletes haven't, right? Because they've been stuck on this cap. And so they're asking, I think, the same question that you are, which is like, are there more, and the schools are already starting to do it, is thinking of more creative ways that they can basically compensate those athletes for what they're giving to the school and what they're doing. And it's interesting to think that one of the benefits is like now they could give pay for graduate school in the future. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious too how that way like affects somebody who's thinking about their future in college sports, because like a lot of college athletes like don't go on to professional sports. So maybe it also creates more opportunities. You don't just go from like, I've got everything, it's great, 4 years, and there's just like a cold cutoff if you don't end up going on to the NBA or the NFL for many reasons, right?
Yeah. So like going off of that, like the fact that they're getting a lot of money, like the question is, why are they spending all this money on like stadiums and like basketball courts when they could be paying the actual athletes? Like why do you want your athletes to just be working for free? Like, honestly, I feel like this whole system is rigged. We don't need to go to college. Like, why don't we just have like this outside basketball team, like a bunch of them, like a bunch, like a big organization of basketball teams, and just play for free? Yeah, and play outside. You don't have to pay for a gym.
Maybe. Would you be part of that?
Is
that
how of you course do it? I would. Yeah. I would do it right now.
Well, people have started different sports leagues in the past, so maybe you can be inspired to do that, right?
Definitely.
So you think it'd be healthier to separate in some ways, like, sports from school to some extent?
Yeah. I feel like either have sports, like only on the weekends or, like, only on, like, after school times, like, it's either or. You can't do both. Because because there's school, work, tests, studying, like all this, like, and we have to work on top of that.
Like finding the right balance so that you can enjoy, right? Like still have fun playing sports, like make it be about that and do the other things you want to do. Yeah. And I think the more that colleges are the place where they're the, in some ways, like where you train people to be professional athletes, then you are already blurring the lines when you do that, right? Versus having maybe like minor league baseball, which is a pathway to become a professional baseball player, right? That's outside of a college setting, right? There's different ways to do it. Cool. Well, I appreciate you giving like kind of an update on your feelings about this topic and just updating our listeners about, you know, this is kind of a big deal. The Supreme Court hasn't really gotten into issues around the NCAA before. So, and when the Supreme Court gets involved, it usually sets precedent that lasts a long time. So the outcome of this case will be interesting. My understanding is they'll probably give a decision in June. So we'll just have to look forward to that and update people when we get there. But yeah, but thanks for having me on to have this conversation with you.
Yeah,
you
got any final thoughts about it? Thank you so much for being on. So, no, I don't really have any, like, extra ideas. But right now we're going to play Frosty the Snowman. And we'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Bye, y'all. Who's debonair with a tall silk hat? Muffler of wool and a tummy that's fat. King for a day and he loves the roll. With a broomstick cane and a heart of gold. That's right. Frosty the Snowman, he's a jolly, happy soul. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Oh, Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be. And the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Let's run and we'll have some fun now before I melt away. So down to the village with the broomstick in his hand. Running here and there all around the square saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop. And he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop. For Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way. But he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thump, thumpity thump thump, over the hills of snow.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose,
Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. From 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Here's what we do with the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mind us your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the video at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
That was an original Clubhouse theme song by DJ WIC. So, in this half of this of the segment, we got Q.
Yo, yo.
And we're just going to do a calm rap radar. We're basically just going to be talking about the song that played right before you speak. So, right now, we got Christmas Night in Harlem by Louis Armstrong.
Every gal strutting with her bow,
through the streets covered white with snow. Happy smiles everywhere you go. It's Christmas night in Harlem. People are feeling mighty good in that good old neighborhood. Hear it now, be it understood. Christmas night in Harlem. Oh, everyone is gonna sit up until after three. Everyone, we be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe. Greet your sweet, neat the mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Sit up until after three. Everyone be all lit up like a Christmas tree. Come on now, every Jane and Joe. Greet your sweet niece to mistletoe with a kiss and a hidey-ho. Christmas night in Harlem. Ba-do-dis, ba-ba-do-dis, it-dis-et. Ba-do-dis, it-dis-et. Full of belly to the oh, what a night in Harlem. Oh, come on now, every Jane and Joe. I greet your sweet neat the mistletoe. With a kiss and a go, go, go.
So that song was A Christmas Night in Harlem by Louis Armstrong. I really liked that beat. It was like a nice, cool jazz band in the back. Yeah, I don't really listen to Louis like that, though. So, now we're going to play a song by Ray Charles called The Spirit of Christmas.
Christmas is the time of year for being with the ones we love, sharing so much joy and cheer. What a wonderful feeling, watching the ones we love having so much fun. I was sitting by the fireside, taking a walk through the snow, listening to a children's choir, singing songs about Jesus. Blessed way that he came to our us. Why can't it remain? Oh, all through the year, each day the same. Ah, that's what I want to hear. It's truly amazing, that spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, that was The Spirit of Christmas by Ray Charles. I like that. It was, like, nice and calm. Like, it sounded like something I would do in a chorus concert. But, yeah, I like Ray Charles. I watched, like, a couple movies that was, like, based on his life. Yeah.
That was a good movie.
It was pretty fire.
One of the childhood favorites.
Mm-hmm. So, now I'm going to listen. We're going to listen to a song by Ron DMC called The Christmas in Handle.
Hollis.
In Hollis.
Little Lep, where have you been?
Naughty, naughty.
Hey, that's right. Oh, the naughty you. Keeping me from my rounds. I'm late as it is. Now stay put. Don't go anywhere till I get back. Understand me?
Nice.
Christmas carols.
Come on.
Dallas Chapel.
You ain't just the man from last night?
Santa, Macy's.
Yo, man, let's go eat, man. I'm hungry. Starving.
Come on, man.
Like, it was just nice and smooth, and it was like it gave me like mad olden days vibes, like
you know, I wasn't alive back when Run DMC was really, like, I was pretty young. I was like three or so when three? Around when yeah
three
around when this song came out. I was like around three,
bro. They had Christmas cards and like birthday cards that played music, and I had one with like Run DMC. It was like the best card mm-hmm. I ever got.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
No, I remember cards like that for him.
Oh yeah, now they have the cards where you open and you get the video. That's pretty cool too.
2020.
Yeah, well. I mean,
what if you get a card that's like that and it rains?
No, that's fire.
That would be weird.
That's fire.
I feel like I would cry.
That would be dope.
It would be pretty cool, but I'd cry.
Why would you cry of a card?
Because, like, some cards just make me emotional, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, tears of joy.
Mm.
Like, you know, like, we've all received that one present that really meant a lot to you.
Mm. Never heard of that. I'm joking. Okay. Lighten up the mood real big.
Okay. I was like, wow.
Yeah, real serious real quick?
I was like, oh.
Nah, not today.
I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
So... Well, in the recent years, so what's one gift you guys really like that you guys received?
My best gifts that I ever got were gifts that I got myself.
Okay.
Definitely.
It was a Mongoose bike. It was my first bike. And then my uncle stole it and broke it.
Ooh.
Dang.
But it don't take away the fact that that was my favorite bike, and I broke it first.
Oh, okay.
And I blamed it on him.
So you were like, oh, it's already broken, but he broke it. So now.
And the thing is, you probably never told
nobody. So now it's time for me to get another bike.
So I got another bike for free.
So you're like, yes.
It's a free method.
Exactly. Okay, cool. So now you just admitted on the radio, your mom might have been listening. She's like, kill.
Nah, she don't listen to the radio.
Nah, she doesn't listen to the radio. Nah, she wouldn't know. She wouldn't understand. She couldn't get it.
Too many buttons on the radio.
Too many buttons. Right. I feel like mine... I have a tie. It's probably between, like, it was, like, a really, really fire Android tablet.
Ooh.
It was pretty fire. It did, like, a lot. And
Keep going.
I got, like, I don't know. Oh, yeah, it was a Batman castle. It was really fat, too. It was, like, the size of my head, like, times my body. And so I was just as tall as it, and so I would be able to, like, play right by it, and I would... throw like my little Batman in it, and I'd be like going all through it. It was like the best experience of my life.
I got a question. P5 or the Xbox?
Don't ask me these questions.
I need an answer.
Listen. All I'm telling you is I'm a PlayStation type of guy because I can't really get behind Xbox. Number one, you're using batteries, okay?
Ooh, I think they switched it up this year, but go ahead.
Nah, there's two different versions of the remote. There's an electronic version, and there's the batteries, I think.
Okay.
Obviously, they switched up the controller, which was a great move. The PS5 controller looks great.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everybody's telling me, like, it works great and everything. So, I can't wait to get mine. I don't think I have it this year.
So,
you know.
When you get your PlayStation 5? All right, so this is, like... I seen a couple of dudes doing it. They get like the virtual remote control car. You get like a racing car game. You plug in like the steering wheel and pedals.
Yeah.
Bro, can we make that into like a super like competition?
We could actually. Like you could probably make it competitive.
Make that into like a whole lead, like the Need for Speed lead.
Mm. Also, one thing I want to push for is ranked Among Us. Give us Among Us ranked.
Okay. I never played that. What is it about?
Among Us?
It's boring. It's trash.
Among Us is
it.
A great game. Don't talk down on Among Us like that.
It's
hate is also a strong word. Don't talk down on Among Us. Among Us is a great game. Among Us is a great game. No, do not talk down on Among
it's
Us.
It's not
you
all that.
We're
don't
not
waste
talking
your time
down
with
on Among
it.
Us. Among Us is a great game.
Nah, if you never played Animal Crossing, you can't compare.
Nah,
Animal Crossing is a great game too. Right. Actually, I enjoyed Animal Crossing a lot this year.
It's like a 2020 version of like Sims.
Mm-hmm.
But like
yeah.
More compatible, and you can fish.
Why I'm thinking I'm talking about Crossy Road.
Wow.
And other things related to gaming. Also, Fortnite recently just added the Black Panther, and they showed respect to him in the trailer, which was a great tribute. My respect for Fortnite went up after that.
And there's free emotes, so everybody's gonna get it.
Yes, especially me.
That's what's up. You gotta be good to get it though.
I have mine already. Don't tell anyone.
Wakanda forever?
Yeah.
Whatever, forever.
Forever. Forever. Rest forever. In peace, Chadwick Boseman.
For real.
But, you know, it's 6:51, so Imani?
Oh, yeah, we got to do our shout-outs. So, shout-out to Wave Farm and the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. And big shout-out to Q.
Thank you for being
on the show.
Thank you.
Shout out to DJ Popcorn. Mm-hmm. And, well, if you wanted to ever listen to the show or, like, follow the show, you can go on the show at 6 p.m. on Fridays on 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Or you can search Clubhouse Radio, and our social media is at C2 Clubhouse. If you're 12 to 18 years old and you want to get involved in our program on this radio show, join us online or in person at the Catskill Clubhouse every Friday at 4:30 p.m. So now we're going
to
play.
Oh, wait. I have a few. Shout out to DJ Consu and DJ Phoebes in the back on Skype for helping us do the segment. Shout out to DJ Phoebes for being on today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not shouting myself out. That's cocky.
No,
I don't do that.
You did a good job.
Thank you. But, yeah. So, shout out to them. Also, if you have any ideas for us on radio show or topics you want us to speak about, you can email us at ourtownourtruth@gmail.com. OURTOWN. OUR again. TRUTH at gmail.com. And we're going to close out with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Deuces.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Charles.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. In one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then how the reindeer...
The Radio Witch Moon Hotline is standing by to collect good vibes of all kinds. Call 518-302-6067 and tell the moon your happy secrets, gratitudes, wins, poems, favorite recipes, compliments, and anything else that cheers you up. That's 518-302-6067. The Radio Witch is getting her candles, herbs, and crystal radio set ready to transform your vibes into a powerful spell to amplify all the good vibes into a healing balm. Call now with your good news, silver linings, songs, and bluebird sightings. 518 518- 302-6067. Tune in on the full moon right here at WGXC 90.7 FM Acre to receive the full power of the spell. And don't forget to call 518-302-6067.
It's the Les Paul Show.
Two of America's most fabulous music makers. Now, this couple, they are man and wife, started making records 3 years ago. And since then, they have sold 15 million records. If you started playing their records, if you started and played them one right after another, you'd be lucky to come through in August 2020. You'd be lucky and you'd be mighty healthy. This is their music.
In the good old summertime. In the good old summertime.
Now, if the sales figures are on the level, I think there's no question that two out of three of you at least know that this is the music of Les Paul and Mary Ford.
Tell me, where do they go? The smoke rings I blow each night. What do they do? The circles of blue. Why do they seem to picture a dream of love? Why do they fade my phantom parade of love? Puff. Take me with you.